Sure. Thank you very much indeed. Well, listen to this. Adulation. My goodness gracious. Thank you so much. And I must say that it really is wonderful for you to have me here at the Watershed Theatre in Bristol, where we're about to play our natural history game, in which the first prize is no less than this. Yes, that is the 16-cylinder conch shell that our teams are playing for. And those teams consist of, on my far left, a lecturer of zoology in London who's soon to become a professor of zoology in Tasmania, Michael Stoddart. And with Michael, the voice of natural history. Here in Bristol, that's Derek Jones. On my far right, a scientist who looks at sea mammals in Cambridge, Sheila Anderson. And helping Sheila and also putting her right when necessary, an entertainer who's familiar to listeners for Crackerjack in the old days and does a tremendous amount of cabaret work these days, that's Don McLean. Now, the rules are available free of charge for consenting adults, and we start with some... Oh, thank you, Don. I like this lad, he's good. Okay, he comes from Solihull, Hull, incidentally, near Birmingham, but that's another story. We're going to start with some individual sounds for you. We're going to start with Derek Jones. It's kind of bird, Derek, that.
I'd rather go than it was.
Too difficult. Could
I have an easier clue?
Yes.
Yeah.
Begins with N.
Yes,
ends with E, and has about 11 letters.
Yes, indeed, yeah. It also sings during the day as well. Must be a nightingale.
Absolutely right. I don't know how you worked that one
out. It took me a long time, but I knew you wanted deduction.
Sheila Anderson. I must explain that is not actually Sheila Anderson. It's for Sheila Anderson.
Thank you, Paddy. I feel a bit like that today.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit marine mammalish to me. Give me a clue.
Well, go right down to the bottom part of the world, right down to...
The Antarctic?
Yes.
But am I still okay on the marine mammal side?
I shouldn't be at all surprised. I didn't understand your first word.
Trouble the chairman doesn't know anything. How about an elephant seal?
Well, I've got a sea lion. Is that...
That's what you mean. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Kind of group, but not quite the same. That's very good. You got it right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do I get any marks for that?
A half mark, do you
okay.
think?
Yes, right, yes. Thank you. Okay, we'll go on now to Mike Stoddart's turn.
If I'd ever parked my car in the outer circle at Regent's Park, would I have heard that right by where I would leave my car? Is it a parrot? A macaw?
No, it's nothing like a parrot.
Nothing like a parrot?
No.
Does it not have wings?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
No. Thank you.
Would it be a chimpanzee?
No, it wouldn't.
Oh, it wouldn't. I give up.
It's a bearded gibbon from the Impression.
What? How old would you say this bearded gibbon is?
About 95.
I should explain that I was doing a little mime there to help Mike Stoddart. Anybody in the audience? Gorilla. You see, everybody in the audience knows. And you're supposed to be the expert as well. That was obviously...
That's superior knowledge, Paddy.
Right. Obviously a gorilla. Let's see about Don McLean's one.
Well, it's a waltz. It's a dicky bird.
You're going to have one more shot at this as well?
No, I think everybody else has had a clue. I feel that I should have a clue for mine as well.
Well, nuts.
It's a squirrel.
It is, yes. Which colour?
Yes, I got the sound of the needles in the background. It was the Isle of Wight, and therefore it's a red squirrel.
That's very good indeed. Well done, my goodness gracious. It was a grey squirrel, as you say.
Okay, that's the end of round one, and time to go across to our special scorer studio in the basement to hear from our guest personality how the teams are doing, please.
The reason they lost it for so long is because we're desperate.
Well, that's very encouraging indeed. Thank you very much indeed, sir. Buzz around now, and as soon as you think you know the answer, you press the red button and you retire immediately. And Michael and Derek are going to sound like this. And Sheila and Don are going to sound like this. Now, we have had actually a number of people who've written in and asked us what exactly makes those noises. Well, this one here, that one is made by Michael and Derek, and the other one is made by Don and Sheila. Okay, so... Oh, I wish I could have you in the audience, Donald. We're much better than sitting next to you on the stage. Okay, so on the buttons, please, gentlemen. And lady, of course, as well. Which royal couple are the size of a sausage and a pea? A royal couple who are... Oh, Mike, yes.
Termite.
Can you explain, please? You're right,
queen,
of course.
The queen termite looks like a sausage and the male termite looks like a pea.
That's for... I thought the answer was Princess Anne and Mark Phillips. I didn't know anything about that.
I think we'll leave that one. Go on to the next one, shall we? Which insect has something in common with Icarus?
Icarus.
Yes, and that is Don McLean coming in.
Well, Icarus flew too near the sun, didn't he? He made wings out of wax and feathers, and I believe they were sort of swan-like wings.
Well, you said wax, you said wings, so the answer is...
A wax wing.
Wax wing, yes. Right. Why does a bee hum?
Because he doesn't know the words.
Absolutely right. Okay, Piglet and Pooh set off to catch a woozle, but never found one. But in the Middle Ages, there really was a woozle. What was it? What was a woozle? Oh, my goodness. We've got hiccups over there. Yes.
I guess it's a weasel, because they had lots and lots of names, just like that.
No, nothing like a weasel, in fact.
Nothing like a weasel.
Yes. Anybody going to have a bash at this one?
I haven't a clue.
No? No. No? Well, it's a pity, this, because actually this does carry with it our star prize for the week.
Oh, dear.
How long have we got?
Well, it's an away day in Sparkbrook. If you get it, I can tell you that.
I'll tell you what, you tell us the answer.
Okay. Well, it was the name for the blackbird, so I've got to go to Sparkbrook. What's then called an oozle, as in Shakespeare, the woozle cock so black of hue, it says here. Which bird can fly backwards? Derek.
Well, I thought Don should have had this. I thought it was the Ouslam bird.
No, that one can, but this is another one that can as well. Yes, Mike.
The hummingbird.
The hummingbird is absolutely right.
And it doesn't hum because it doesn't know the words. It hums because it flies backwards.
That's absolutely right. Yes, I'm glad you said all that. Okay, know your parts. Which part of what, or even what part of who, is, Derek, Spangle Gall?
Spangled Gall.
He's a newsreader on ITV, isn't he?
No, I think he's retired and become Ivy Compton Burnett, hasn't he?
Have you two finished your double act? Or could I get...
It is a bit technical, I can tell you that, yes.
A spangled gall.
Yes.
Found on oak trees, on the leaf of oak tree, earlier form of a particular wasp.
That's right. Would you like to extirpate, or will you wait till afterwards?
Yes. No, I think that's enough. Spangled galls found on the underside of oak leaves.
Yes, that's right. It's the kind of grubs of the wasp. They overwinter in the gall, don't they, and do all kinds of exciting things in there, I'm sure.
I don't want to go into a life cycle because it's terribly complicated.
That's
isn't
right,
it, Mike?
That's right, Derek. Yeah,
well, it's part of an oak tree. We'll settle for that. That's great. And we'll go on now to Michael. Michael, velvet.
Antlers, deer. The deer grow their antlers and they're covered in velvet for several months and then the velvet falls off and they're in what's called hard horn. And this is when they actually fight with one another. They don't fight when they've got velvet on them. Apparently velvet is a very good aphrodisiac. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
And the New Zealand sheep farmers are now harvesting it and selling it in Singapore. How about that? So the educational programme as well as intellectual.
And that presumably is why you're going to the Antipodes soon yourself.
But surely every time you then feel randy, you charge a tree.
And you hope there might be spangled balls on it.
Don, let's go on to your own question, shall we?
Here? Good.
Yes. Fluke.
It's the tail, although it's not a tail. It's sort of the adaptation of the pentadactyle limb of a whale.
Oh, yes,
I say,
absolutely right.
Okay.
Yes, yes,
in other words, it's his sort of his 2 feet put together like that, and you know, like that. So it goes up and down instead of from side to side. See, yeah. Fish's tails, caudal fins, they go from side to side, but a flute goes up and down and propels the whale through the water. Yes. Anything else?
No.
It's the name of the end of a whale's tail, the bit that goes, as he said, like that, like that, and instead of going, like that. Okay, Sheila, what is a uropygial gland?
Uropygial gland?
That's what I told you. I asked how to pronounce it before, and that's what they said.
Well, it sounds like a very posh term for a sense-secreting gland. Mike's making nice flapping signs up across the table.
Well, I think we'd better go
across. I'm
going
to hand this one over to the man at the other side of the table.
Well, you're giving it away to the opposition. You do know that.
Oh, okay. My partner.
Yes, it's a gland on the rear end of a water bird, and this is the reason why whenever you see a duck, he's always got his bum pointing to the sky.
You see, I knew he'd know the answer.
Well, there we go. That's one suggestion. And now what about a suggestion from Mike?
It's a preen gland. It's the gland that birds use to get a waterproofing material from. So that's why they're always head down. You see, they can't preen the bit all around the gland. And so the back end sits up in the water, you see? So actually, you're right.
Thanks.
Give
thanks,
him
Mike.
The mark.
We've
got enough over here.
Well, Don gets the mark there, definitely. But it was Sheila's question, and we can, in fact, check up and see what her individual score is, please.
On the beam, she got 10 out of 10, and on the isometric bars, 10 out of 10. And her floor walk and bog were almost faultless as well.
Well, there we are. Very clever girl. Well done. But back to your buzzers now, please, for a round that we're calling Hello Sailor.
Oh!
And this is all about sea creatures, as you can imagine. Okay, what kind of sea creature maintains your piano?
What?
Yes, that is Sheila Anderson.
A tuna.
Tuna is right.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, no.
What kind of sea creature supports Torvill and Dean? And that was Sheila just getting in. And Don getting in. And Derek wants to have a go as well.
Well, should Don and I do a duet on
this? One, two, three, a skate.
A skate is right. What kind of sea creatures are west of England? Are west of England.
Oh.
Oi.
We'll keep our welcome in. Whales.
Oh, that's what
whales. It's whales.
I've never heard whales sing like that before. Okay. What kind of sea creature is under your foot? Yes, Don.
A soul.
Great. What kind of sea creature is smoked and sleeps a lot? Yes, Don.
A kipper.
Which kind...
Like my dad.
Which kind of sea creature rips your backside? Which kind of sea creature rips your backside?
A spotted bum grabber.
Well, that's true, but I've got down here Tearbot.
Oh, no.
And finally, and this one I have to tell you I am extremely proud of, which kind of creature is a Dietrich? Yes, Sheila.
A Marlin.
Marlin a Dietrich, yes.
Oh, very good.
Okay, still nip and tuck as we return to our animal sounds of one ilk or another. Actually, I think the Americans have ilks, don't they? They join them. That's right, yeah. That's the same kind of
thing.
With an E. With
an E,
yes.
Not an I.
Well, this is Derek Jones with three E's in all, and also one sound. I think you actually have messed up with these.
I think I probably have, because I think this is a four-footed friend.
Yes, it is.
And that, I suspect, is a night recording. I think it's a fox.
And you're absolutely right. Yes, it's a dog fox barking. Well done. Not easy at all, but a lot easier than the one that Don is going to have.
Those sort of night watchmen that they used to have in Rome, is it the geese?
No, I know what you mean, it could have been, but it,
but it wasn't that. No. I didn't think it was for a minute.
No. If you think in terms of Africa, and you think in terms of the great plains of Africa, an animal that goes stomping across the great plains of Africa.
Oh, stomping?
Oh, stomping, yes, it stomps.
So it's not a dog type animal?
No, well, it gallops and does all that kind of rubbish. And it's got stripes on its back and...
Oh, it's a leopard. It's got stripes. Yes, you can't fool me, Feeney. Yes.
So we go on now to Mike. Mike's not asking. Here's your one.
Lovely. It sounds like a soft shoe routine, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Is it a mammal with wings?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Soft shoe routine. It's a hush puppy.
Many bats wear soft shoes, you know. It's a bat, isn't it?
It is a bat.
It is,
yes.
A bat. It's got to be a bat. Well, since there's about 1,000 species, I haven't the slightest idea. A horseshoe bat.
Well, I've got it down as a pipistrelle bat, if that's all right. Actually, Don McLean's one I had down as a zebra, but obviously he was right on that one. And we'll go finally in this round to Sheila Anderson. It's very unkind, actually, this one, because it is a bit of a trick.
Isn't it? I think Don's got a good idea. Hold on a moment.
It's a centipede.
He says it's a centipede,
no, it's not a centipede,
but I think it's got foot problems.
No, because the centipede has more legs than this one. This has just 6 legs.
It's an insect.
Yeah.
Is it a stridulating insect?
Ooh. No. Not at this time of year, anyhow. Let me think if I can give you a few examples of it.
Problems with the audience, for instance.
A cabbage white, is that right?
A butterfly.
And a butterfly, yes, it's a butterfly walking. That is the amplified sound of a butterfly walking.
Now, was that a wrong question?
And it wouldn't mean much unless you were another butterfly, in my opinion, but there we go. Okay, we've got to change a pace and a mood here. This is our specialist question round, and each week before the show we ask our teams if there's a subject that they actually do know something about. And if so, would they please write it down? Well, Derek Jones just put down 4 X's, but we've got this one. Derek, which board works? But even better is, which bird walks? Which bird walks and flies along the river underwater?
Well, you know, there are all sorts of riverside birds, and I get a lot of pleasure watching some of them.
Anybody got a pack of cards?
I think it's a dipper.
Yeah, can you explain a bit about going along underwater?
A dipper is this lovely bird with the white breast, which looks a bit like a butler bobbing on a stone. But the dipper is able to go underwater and stay underwater and find its food in that way.
You're absolutely right, and that's a beautiful answer. Thank you very much indeed. There we go. Mihailovich, which mammal lives in a colony much like a social insect, such as bees, wasps and ants, and has a caste system with a queen and workers?
Well, I think this must be a delightful little animal which relishes in the name of the naked mole rat. Is it?
Yes, it is.
Well, I would not like to say anything about cafeteria sausages on a Monday that have been left over from a Friday, but really the naked mole rat looks like an animated Friday sausage cooked up again on Monday. And it's an extraordinary thing because they live in these colonies, completely underground, completely naked. It's just got two tiny little places where the eyes should be and a tiny little tail and little tiny feet. And that's really about all, and it just wriggles around. And there is a queen. There appears to be a female who governs the breeding of everybody else. There's a queen, and she's attended by lots of workers, and they all buzz around, and they all do things, and she just grows big and fat. It's a lovely system. Marvellous. Marvellous life if you're the queen, you see, but not if you're a worker.
Great. Thank you very much indeed, Mike. Yes. Incidentally, I called you Mihailovich, just in case we managed to sell this one to the Soviet Union.
That,
program.
Course, yes.
Don.
I didn't answer in Russian, then.
No. Don, what alarm signal does a rabbit use?
Oh, well, I had a rabbit when I was a little lad, and I called him Thumper because of this. And we used to keep him in a great big tea chest. And whenever he, well, not as an alarm, but whenever he felt hungry, he used to thump his back foot, his one back foot, as hard as he could. And if they do this sort of in the wild, especially if they do it on a hollow log, it sort of sounds for miles.
Yes, it's like a kind of drum message going out to all of the...
Exactly, this is where the Rolling Stones got the idea from.
Right, Sheila Anderson. Which mammal has troubles with canned tuna? They swim along, actually, with the yellowfin tuna.
Oh, sorry, yes, yes. There's an enormous problem, or there has been, particularly in the Pacific Ocean, with the tuna fishery, that the method by which they catch the tuna also means that large numbers of dolphins are caught, several different species of dolphin, actually, not just one, the striped dolphin, the spinner dolphin, several different species. And for some reason, the tunas and dolphins actually associate together. And in fact, the tuna fishermen use sightings of dolphins, because of course dolphins have to come to the surface to get air. They spot the dolphins, and then the tuna fishing boats home in on the group of dolphins. And usually, there's associated with this is a group of tuna, and they put the net round. And the US government actually has gone to a lot of trouble and introduced legislation to ensure that there are means of escape for the dolphins. But even though they do try and arrange this, still quite large numbers of dolphins are killed in the fishery.
Yes, right, lovely. Bless you, Sheila. And that brings us really towards the end of the competition. It really is terribly, terribly exciting, because the whole outcome hangs on this last round, in which you have to sing a song in which a creature or plant has been conched out. Now, points are going to be awarded for glissandos, vibratos and double axels. And and we will start with Sheila Anderson.
My heart had bit, my legs went weak, my hands didn't know just what to do. And now I'm trying to find the number to call. I gotta get it with you.
Okay, well, if you can just give us what the is, then we'll forget about the singing bit.
I think the tune was before my time. I haven't a clue.
Anybody? Anybody knows? Nobody knows it at all. In fact, yeah, oh, Mike does.
Oh,
no. It's Date. I Gotta Get a Date, sung by the one and only Frank Ifield. Let's go on now to your one, Mike.
Yeah, I like the lyrics.
Yes, it is. Yes, you can. Yes. Do you know what the animal was there?
Not the slightest idea.
No?
Not the foliest.
And Robin, the famous. The famous oi from Don McLean.
This is the song that actually the mother used to sing to him when it was time for his meal. She used to go, dinner, 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 Batman.
Batman, yes, yes.
Before my time.
Well, you shouldn't know it, because that actually was a Pipistrelle Batman.
Oh, was it? Ah.
And the next one, Derek, is for you.
Why do you whisper green? Why tell the trees what ain't so? Whispering, the trees don't have to know.
Oh, no. They don't have to know.
Yeah, you picked Mice Oliveira, haven't you?
Yes.
Why tell them
all
things they're buried under the snow?
I'll sing the bass part, you know, don't tell it to the trees or something. But green grass.
Grass is the answer. Yes, whispering grass, isn't it? Yes. Okay, Don, now, if you'd like to sing along with this right from the start, I think it's one that you'll know. It may be a bit difficult to get the conch bits, but I'll come along with you as well.
Oh, good.
Here we go. Let's have a go at this.
Let there be meat. Let there be meat. Let there be oysters under the sea. Let there be wind. Occasional rain, chili con carne, sparkling champagne. Let there be birds to sing in the trees. Bless you. That's it. Whenever you sneeze, let there be. A lock and a dove, but most of all, please, let there be
love.
And on that note, and a very flat note too, we would probably have to leave it, but, and this is really going to blow your minds, it happens to be a tie.
Oh.
So what can we do to resolve that? Well, what about a tie question? Say something like this. You're a mad genetic engineer creating life in a test tube. What new plant or animal species would you invent to fulfill a useful purpose on our planet? For example, you could cross a secretary bird and an electric eel and get a computer that sits on your knee. Subtle, that one, I thought. Nobody else did, obviously. Derek, have you got any ideas for that?
This is important.
If
you cross a bee with laboratory equipment, you get a stinging retort.
Oh.
Sheila?
Well, I think I'd like to cross two headlights with a kangaroo for a double knit jumper.
Oh, good.
Michael.
Well, I would like to raise the tone of this a little bit, you see. I'm very interested in the spread of malaria around the world, and what I would like to do would be to get some mad scientist, though he wouldn't be mad at all, he'd be the saviour of the world, to come up with a little genetic package to put into a mosquito such that the mosquito immunises the person that it bites. Think of the possibilities of that. How else are you going to get your malaria vaccine into the millions and millions of people around the world? Answer? Get the mosquito to do it. That's what I do.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Very good idea. Just wonder if the BMA would put up with that one, but still. Don, finally you.
Well, after that, I feel it's only my duty to lower the tone of the programme.
Oh, sure.
Right, too.
I should like to cross a lady of ill repute with an elephant. And then I'd get a... I'd get a two-ton raver that did it for peanuts and never forgets.
You're certainly right about lowering the tone of the programme. Well, obviously, there's no way that I can judge those, so it's up to you, the listener at home, and also the audience here in the Watershed Theatre in Bristol. For the next few moments, through the wonder of radio, you will be at one with each other, which is rather exciting. So, now to the voting, and will you please face your trannies, and all those in favour, please shake your heads, and all those against, please nod, and will you please all do it now? Thank you very much, Steve. Yes, well, once again, it's the vote from Chesterfield Street that has decided the day, much to the satisfaction of the winners and, of course, the despair of the losers. And so it's goodbye from Derek Jones, from Don McLean, from Michael Stollard and Sheila Anderson, and, of course, it's goodbye also from the Conch.